Love you too, don't you?
Amen. I think maybe we should just say amen and get busy about the Father's business. Amen. That was a great, great message and needed message. There's a lot of churches across this country that has accepted the status quo. I was in a church just recent in the state of Tennessee that the pastor announced that they had someone saved. And the first time someone's been saved in that independent Baptist church for 12 years. First time somebody got saved in independent Baptist church, state of Tennessee, in my town, for over 12 years. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." But the same one who said, "Come," said, "Take my yoke upon you." And the same God that gave the invitation says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So it said in Matthew chapter 9, he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field." And so the word said, "Send laborers." Luke chapter 16, as a man died, went to hell. He's talking to Abraham. And that wicked man said, "Would you send someone?" Isaiah had a glimpse of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. And he said, "I'm an unclean man." And he was cleansed. And so the washed man said, "Send me." So the word said, "Send laborers." The wicked said, "Send someone." And the washed said, "Send me." Amen. I am grateful for the privilege to be here and for the blessings of the Lord. I witnessed Saturday night. I was up in Roanoke, Virginia, and I witnessed a 68-year-old man being brought down the aisle by his brother, and he got gloriously saved. Amen. By the grace of God. I thought of Andrew, who first findeth his brother.
Yes.
And then another man from over here came down and got some matters settled between he and the Lord. I don't believe you can get saved but one time. Jesus didn't say, "Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again and again and again." But he did say, "You must be born again." So he got to settle a great manifestation of the move of God. And by the way, that's what's needed today. And so I'm trying to get up enough nerve to get to where I'm supposed to preach. I'm talking to pastors and I preach mission meetings, but I'm hearing this repeatedly. The faith promise has been successful, but the local congregation is dying at the roots. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get the base built back up, there will be no foreign missions. And so I think that's where the need is. I got two or three little things that I just want to mention tonight. I won't preach long, I don't think. But I've lied about other things too. Notice with me, please, the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 20. And this is so familiar. But I thought about our brother mentioned this a couple of times in the closing part of his message tonight. And the Bible said in verse 19 of John 20, he said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I want to preach in this time that I have tonight on being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in his mission. Being identified with Christ in his mission. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, the word of God to our heart. We ask for the anointing of God to be upon our feeble lips. I do thank you for Brother Ruckman's message and how piercing, how convicting, and how right it was. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We thank you for those who brought the gospel to us, and we thank you for the grace of God that saved our soul. Have your will and way. Guard my lips. I pray that you'll take my mind. Think your thoughts and take my lips and speak your truth. And may you be glorified in all that we do and say. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Being identified with Christ in his mission. John's Gospel, chapter 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse number 14, it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John speaks of the glory of his person in John chapter 1. In chapter 2, John speaks of the glory of his power. In John chapter 12, he speaks of the glory of his passion. In John chapter 17, he talks about the glory of his present position. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So being identified with Christ and his mission. His mission was to do the Father's will. But he was to reveal not himself, but to reveal the Father to mankind. Praise God, I'm telling you. When you spend time, I remember Dr. Lincoln saying this one time. He said, fellas, you just have to take time to be holy. And if you take time to be holy, folks will see Jesus in your life and in my life. But we're not seeing much of that today. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I, those two little words, as and so, is spoken by Jesus to his disciples after the resurrection, prior to his ascension. Jesus was identifying his disciples with himself and with the mission to the world. And so we consider his words, the significance of them. He's saying, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's in our identification with our Savior in our lives, in our service in the world. It is this. He said that as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Means that we are under the like mandate. It means that as he was, so are we sent into the world. His mission was an authoritative mission. It was a command, authoritative command, and our authorization to act and an order and a commission given by the Lord himself, as the Father has sent me. Jesus was sent into the world under the authority and the command of his heavenly Father. And it was said of him, he did always those things that pleased the Father. I hear him say, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He often referred to this during his ministry, the fact that, and notice with me if you would please, in John 5. And John, I noticed John chapter 5, and I'm looking at verse number 23. I believe that's where I am. In John 5 and 23, the Bible says it this way. He said that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. He's sent by the Father. Now, we have a mission and we're sent by the Father. In like manner, as Christians, we're sent into the world under the authority and the command of Jesus. And he said, as the Father, so send I you. As he obeyed the Father's mandate, so we're obligated to obey that mandate he made to us. It is this, as the Father was sovereign over his own Son, so is the Son of God sovereign over us. Yes. And don't get nervous about the word sovereign. He's a sovereign God. Amen. Again, world evangelism is divinely mandatory for every believer. Not just a suggestion, but it's mandatory. And so the mandate having been given by Jesus himself, we see it in Mark's gospel, in Matthew's gospel, in the book of Acts, and the book of Luke, and in John. And so the Christ's entire life on earth was lived in subjection to the Father's will and the Father's mandate. And so believers must live under that mandate to us. That's what Brother Ruckman was talking about tonight. I want to mention three little things. And it tying these as and so, it means that we are sent on a like mission as he was. And so we are sent to reveal God to mankind. I remember back in the days of the 60s, I got saved in June 14th, 1960. And I remember those early days where there was a spirit of revival. And I remember those early days of pastors, Brother Jacob. I pastored in Thomasville, Georgia for almost 15 years. And it would not be uncommon for an invitation to run to 10 o'clock on Sunday night. And it wasn't a matter of foolishness. It was just God, the Holy Ghost, just working and drawing and moving. And folk would get alarmed. In fact, they called the police one night and tried to find out what was going on down there. And they were welcome to come. I'm saying back in those days, God hadn't changed. The Word of God hadn't changed. The mandate hadn't changed, but we've changed. And so we've got settled down and we've accepted the idea that in the last days will be the Laodicean age, and we'll just live in those lukewarm days and just be half-hearted, half in, half out, just go with the flow. Don't upset anybody, you know, just be real nice and all your preach. But sinners are dying and going to hell. And can I say, We had organized visitation. We knocked doors. We gave out gospel tracts. But we've got lax now. We've come a long way, haven't we? Away from what God called us to do. So our purpose, we're identified with Christ on the mission. What was his mission? Was to reveal the Father to mankind. And that's what we're to do. We're to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that's without hope and without God. He was sent to reveal God to mankind. He revealed the Heavenly Father in two ways. He revealed his Father in the way he lived, and he revealed the Father and the things he taught. And so we're to likewise, we are to be revealing our God to a lost and dying world. He was sent to redeem men from the condemnation, those who did not believe. I'm glad that the Father sent him. And he said, I've come to do the Father's will. And the Bible said he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. The night I got saved, I didn't go to get saved. I went to see my girlfriend. And while I was there, the Spirit of God arrested my attention and brought me to God, saved me by His grace, and is still holding real good. When I got saved, I wanted my daddy saved. When I got saved, I wanted my brothers and sisters saved. And by the way, there's something wrong today if you can be saved and the rest of your family is still going to hell and you're not bothered about it. Amen. We used to fill our cars with people and bring them to church. Revival meetings would be when folks are bringing lost people and they're praying, oh God, get a hold of their heart, save them. But we don't see much of that anymore. We ran buses for a while it was, while it was convenient. But we're not revealing. We're not demonstrating. We're not manifesting our God to a lost and dying world. Could I tell you, this world is shipwrecked on the sea of life without help and without hope. And somebody needs to tell them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So we're to do what? We're to reveal by the way we live and by the things we teach. We are to reveal Christ. And so he was sent to reveal the Father to lost man. He was sent to redeem those who are under condemnation. And He said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Not just life, but a more abundant life. And then are you listening? He's sent also by the Father to build His church. He's in the church building business. And so I think this is where we missed it as fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptists. Years ago, 60s and 70s, the mega church movement was in full blossom. And we'd have preachers who would send buses 60 miles away to bring somebody in, to build a following, to build a number, to build a name. When somebody needs to start a church over yonder. And so here's where we missed it. One of the areas we missed it. We fail to reproduce in the matter of building other churches. And as I said, I can't do it. But if I had my ministry to do over it again, here's two things I'd do. I'd have my own Bible Institute. I'd teach my own men. And I'd specialize in a matter of helping start churches.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And if we do not get some more churches started,
you're right,
our missions are going down the tube.
That's exactly right.
But it starts what? We're revealing the Savior of the world to men that have no hope and no help. We're doing what? We're seeking to reach others for Christ. And then this building church. Now, don't you misunderstand me. It is God's church.
Amen.
And it is God who builds the church. But I thought I'd tell you that when I got born again, I was birthed into the family of God. I was placed into that building. Into that. And so we are laborers together with God. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. And he said, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And so he said, in God's arithmetic, one plus one is one. And we've got too many that's not willing to be a part of one. They've got to be number one. And so we're not building many churches. And we're not reaching many people for the Lord. And Christ is still veiled to a world that's on the way to hell. Amen. I may mention two or three things and I'll stop. It's a matter of being identified with Him. To make Christ known to mankind by giving out the inspired Word of God, the Scriptures, by presenting the incarnate Son to the world. As the Father has sent me, so. He made it very clear that it is our Christian obligation to make known God to people who do not know Him. And it's not just in Ghana, and it's not just in the foreign fields of the world. It's the people across the street and down the alley and across the way. It is this. We must do this by going and sharing the gospel with them. The way the missionaries live among the people reveal their godliness. Yes. It is this, to seek and to save the lost, to point people to the Redeemer and to His redemptive work, to build His church. Ephesians chapter 2, notice a couple of verses, and I'll reference these two verses. In Ephesians chapter number 2, and the Bible said it this way, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19, and He said, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." And I say this, we're doing what? We're identifying with Christ. Amen. By winning people to the Lord. And so it means that we are proclaiming the same message. Because people want to change the message today. We're living in a sick society that talks about being recovering fundamentalists. But I tell you, there's two things wrong with them. They're not recovering and they're not fundamentalists. And they never was fundamental. Never was. This Bible hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. We have an obligation to get the gospel to the world, to seek and to save that which is lost. And then in Christ's message to the world, notice this, His message was also of God's righteousness and judgment. His message was a message of forgiveness of sin. His message was one of repentance and faith. And yes, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. It means that we are equipped with the same mantle, the same power. Yes. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. "And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts." You can't sidestep Jerusalem in your effort of getting the gospel to the world. If you sidestep Jerusalem, missions will suffer. You can't sidestep Jerusalem in an effort to get the gospel to the whole wide world. It is the beginning place, Jerusalem. May God help us to be doers of the word. We're identified with Him. He lives in me. Could I tell you, He's for you. He's in you. He's with you. And He's coming for you.